This morning, we have another greatest miracle of all this morning, another testimony. But I'm going to be sharing out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All the old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." I was blessed yesterday. I did a wedding service. Ceremony in El Cajon for a couple who go to a different church, and it was awesome. But the grooms and I have to share this because you guys been praying for divine appointments. Yeah. I keep praying for divine appointments, and the groom's sister's best friend, who's a guy who isn't saved, his family's saved, not all of them, but most of them. And we were talking about the Lord during the reception. Right there, we're all together. It was a small, just family. So we're all together. And as we're talking, they're talking about the Lord. The sister's talking about the Lord. And then she goes, "He isn't saved." And so I looked at him. I said, "Why not?" And he just was very quiet. I said, "Let me ask you this. If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven?" He said, "No." I said, "What if God said, hey, Alex, I got a free ticket for you to get into heaven. Would you take it?" And he said, "Probably." I said, "Yeah, you'd be dumb if you didn't." And so we got talking, and I pretty much told him, hey, I shared my testimony with them. And I shared, you know, this is how I came to know the Lord. If somebody challenged me, they said, have you ever challenged God? What do you mean? Have you ever just looked up and said, God, if you're real, change my life. If you're not, you're going to be the same old cholo dude that you are. And I said, I've never done that. But you know what I think? I'm going to do it because I'd use the same thing. So I told him, I want to challenge you this morning that you do the same thing. And all you have to do is pray. God made it so simple. And, you know, everybody's listening. It's great. It's just great. I loved it. I told him, all you have to do is a simple prayer. I would love to lead you in a prayer so that when somebody asks you, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? You'd be able to, with confidence, to say yes. And he says, well, what prayer do I need to say? And so bottom line is we prayed together and he accepted the Lord. So if you have not led anybody to the Lord, you just got to ask God, bring somebody into my path. Because I always do that. When there's times when I say, man, I need to lead somebody to God. And God always brings them by because there's people out there that need to get saved. And so it was awesome. So they were all excited. So the word just, it went like fire, just went, spread it. Everybody said, hey, he accepted the Lord. And they're coming up to me. And then the bride came up, goes, my brother doesn't know the Lord. I said, where is he? Which one? And he said, over there. But don't, you probably shouldn't go. I said, no, that's God's timing. God knows when. If she wouldn't have said that, I probably would have went over there and talked to him anyways. But all you got to do is challenge him and share Christ with him. And that's all I did was just share the word of God, share my testimony. And he accepted the Lord. He prayed, and I gave him my card. And they live in a different county, so hopefully they'll get hooked up within a church and everything go well. But see, that's one of the greatest miracles of all is a changed life. And that's what you're going to hear this morning. So I'm going to have Brother John come up, and he's going to share the Lord with us. And then after that, I'm going to come up and share, and we're going to get set for communion. Amen? Amen. All right. Man, you didn't clap like that for me. Well.
Hi, guys. Hi. My beloved family. Well, our Lord's beloved family, but you're my beloved family, too. Let's give a shout-out for God. Amen. Come on. We could do it in sports. Why can't we do it even louder for God, right? So praise God. That's what I've learned. So anyways, let's go to prayer real quick. Father God, I just thank you for today, Lord, and thank you for this opportunity to share just a tiny bit of my life, Lord. Not to get into a biography or a history book, Lord, but just something simple, Lord, pointing towards you because you're the one who does the restoring. You're the one who does the delivering. You're the one who provides the grace, the forgiveness, the mercy upon each of us, Lord. I pray that you speak through me, Lord, that also I may hear as well, that I might learn something when I'm speaking, Lord, because we're all students here. We're all disciples here, Lord. We're also all ones to share the things of you and to encourage others as iron sharpens iron, Lord. So please help me in this, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to say, kind of understand what Stevie goes through the night before he gives the word. I had a hard struggle sleeping last night, tossing and turning. And then I fell asleep about 2 o'clock, and my clock, my digital clock at home jumped an hour ahead. And I woke up an hour later thinking it was 2 hours. And I'm like, oh, man, it's 4 o'clock. I might as well just stay up. Then I look at my phone. 3 o'clock, oh, forget it. So I got in and started reading the word. And so I'm here today. So I'm kind of. But anyways, just a tiny bit on my history. I have some scriptures I wanted to read too, but just a real brief thing. I drew out a blueprint for myself. Let me get my glasses on, that'll help. Anyways, a lot different than doing a video thing when you got live audience. You're like, oh man. But anyways, I was born back in the mid-60s, and because of God's grace and his love, I didn't understand or realize it. I always thought I was a mistake here on earth. But God saved me and my mom because she would have died having me, and I would have died with her. But for some reason, God made that go through. But my parents didn't work out, so my grandmother on my mom's side took me in and adopted me. And we're all here adopted, amen? I hope we're all here adopted. We've given ourselves to the Lord, so we're adopted to the Lord's family. So in our minds, we carry the Lord Yeshua in our minds as a mark, and we apply it in our hands as a mark. Amen, as a seal, because we're sealed to him. Not sealed by the 666 or the beast, but by our Lord. Amen. So lived in North Carolina for a little bit and moved here. My G-mom sent me to Sunday school for 2 years till the church kind of faded off. I started going to elementary school, and there were some problems there, and then they sent me to another elementary school, and that's where I met an old friend of mine. I don't think he's here today, but his name's Peter. Some of you guys might know him, but he's been my friend ever since. I went there, and he stuck out his hand. He says, "You want to be my friend?" And we've been friends ever since. But the Lord has blessed my brother. He loves the Lord, too. The Lord's got a wife and 2 children, and he's looking for a home to buy. So if you could pray for him to find a good home and stuff, that would be appreciated, you know. And then they put me on Ritalin. I don't think I ever needed it, but it was an experimental drug. I was going to the Naval Hospital at the time. So I was on that till 9th grade. So it kind of, I had a kind of hard start through school, but it is what it is. You know, we all have hard things. Sometimes we feel that we don't belong here, but you know what? We don't belong here. We're just passing through. This world is not our world. Amen. But maybe we didn't realize what God had in store for us, you know, down the way. Then through junior high, about 9th grade, they took me off the Ritalin. And for some reason, I started growing, and then I started getting in trouble. Started doing drinking, drugs, running around with other lost people, you know. And I'm not going to get into all that because that's not something to brag about. I'm ashamed of some of the things, most of the things that I did. But I don't regret the people that I met. I even thank God for the people I met, even the ones that may have done me wrong or that may have failed wrong. It guided me to where I'm at today. So I thank everyone that God has put me in my life. And I pray for those that who may not like me, because I know that people didn't like me and they wished that I was dead. But God kept me alive, and I pray that for them, you know, that they would be alive. Amen. So after I got out of high school, I got in trouble. And then when I got out, I got to this program, went to the Sierra Mountains. And I didn't know what it was about at first, but it was a Christian organization. They were like a missionary group for Mexico. But we went to Sierra Mountains for 14 days, went hiking and all like that. Coming out, he asked if I wanted to be accepting the Lord. I said, yeah, sure. And he washed my feet, baptized me up in the Sierra Mountains. But that didn't last for about a year. I fell. You know, I backslid or whatever, how you want to say it, or I didn't grab a hold of it. So for a long time, from 84 to about 99 or so, 1999, I was backsliding, hard time. But before that, just to back up a minute, I had met a girl in the 12th grade. Her name was Rosa, first girlfriend. And I think she has a son of mine, but I screwed up. I was lost. And it was something I didn't want to. It was something I didn't want to do to my own, that what was done to me, you know, losing, not having a father and a mother, you know. And it's important for the family. It's important that you have forgiveness for one another. Especially as brethren, we should be forgiving one another always. We hold a higher standard and a higher representation for our glory of our God, but plus we are honored to be a part of his family, so we have to love one another, because if we don't love one another, what does that make us? A liar, right? So we don't want to be a liar for God. We want to be somebody who's good for the Lord, you know? We want to ask God to teach us how to love him, and how to love one another, you know, because as Brother Tony, Pastor Tony says, and I've always held dear to that, we really don't know how to love. We think we do, but the only one who could teach us to love is God. And if we don't love God, we can't love others. And if we don't love others, we don't love God. And if we don't love God and others, we don't love ourselves. That's what I'm learning. So praise God. But anyways, about 1999, my G-mom's son died, who was my brother. He died of drugs and alcohol and some other things. And that kind of broke her heart. Then she got psychological dementia. And I was doing good at the time. I wasn't doing drugs. I was working and stuff. But she got the psychological dementia. I didn't know where to turn. I really didn't trust anybody. But I had my brother Matt, who was always watching over me. I wouldn't listen half the time. And I had some other friends. Once in a while, Juan would come by, Dante, and Arthur, and some other friends of mine just came by to check on me to make sure I was okay. Made it through somewhat, you know. But then I ended up losing everything. My mom, she got put into a rest home. And so forth, she died in 2004. And that's when I totally lost everything. And I almost died too. I got a heart attack, went into a coma. But for God's whatever plan and grace is, he had mercy on me and grace on me. Even all the stupid stuff that I did before, that I should have been locked up or should have been dead or shot or something, still God's grace was there for me. You know, and he's there for each and one of us here. You know, even for your future, if you're young in here, he's even here for you to down your future. Just stay close to him, you know. But anyways, after I lost everything, I ended up in my motorhome with my wolf dog Arrow, me and my Arrow. I had her since a pup. I still do miss her. She was like, people say you can't say an animal's like a kid, but to me, she was like my kid, my little daughter. And she was special to me. Brother Lou knows, and Felix, and the rest of you guys who knew when I had her. Amen? But praise God. You know, Lord willing, I believe I will see her again, because she's one of God's creatures. You know, some people say, oh, you won't, but the Bible talks about certain things in there, and I think I'll see her again. Amen? But anyway, so I ended up in a motorhome, came back down here, But before I got in the motorhome, I went to this church up in Wildomar called Narrow Pathways, and I was going to somebody that did something that wasn't right, and they were supposed to be walking with God, and I knew that wasn't right for a person to walk with God. So I go there, and I was going to put them on blast at the church, but I felt this heavy presence. I can't explain it. It sat me down, and it says, "You got to forgive this person. I got you here for me." And I said, "What do you mean he's doing wrong? Even though where I'm at, I know what, but he's doing wrong. You have to forgive him. I have you here for me." And I started weeping, and that's when I started that journey toward God. Well, God gave me enough money to get back down here, take care of some businesses and stuff to get my life going right. And I went to this one church where Arthur's sister was at, but it didn't correlate how I was. I just didn't feel right there. And then she goes, "You know, you could go to the church where Arthur's at." And I go, "Where's that at?" And she said, "Here." The funny thing is, in 2002, I came here at one time because Arthur, I had some friends that lived down here, down the corner here, and I seen Arthur and Cynthia. It was one of your festivals. And so he goes, "God, come on." And I came here, and I think Joe Castro was here, and Adam, he had darker hair. Joan Sinnott was here. Guys were much younger, you know. So I got remembrance of some of these things, you know, but I didn't grab a hold of it. Many times through my life before that, I see Oscar standing at the North Park Theater. Nobody in the street. I'm just walking on my own mission. I guess the mission for the evilness, but Oscar says, "Hey, come and join us." No, I got it, but I love you, bro. Good seeing you. But see, that's times that God was reaching out to me in my life. But I was foolish. I was an idiot because I didn't grab a hold of those times that I should have. And I look back, if I would have grabbed a hold of God a lot earlier, I could have probably encouraged some friends that who's died now who could have been with the Lord. I could have, my mom, my G-mom, would have been able to see me not doing the things that I used to do. I may not be where I'm at, but I'm not doing the things that I used to be doing. And I'm not where I'm at, where I was, I mean. So praise God. So anyway, so I came here and started the path. You know, in 2005, October 5th is when I got baptized here. But that was a very short baptism for me because I messed up. Right after I got baptized, I went to go see a friend. We started talking and some things and got in this conversation. And I put my foot in my mouth and I went. I felt ashamed or whatever. I felt bad. So I went out and stole a bottle of Jägermeister. And I got a cocaine rock, and I went to go smoke it. But see, I didn't grasp a hold of God, and I didn't know God fully of an understanding of knowing what baptism was. I was just jumping. I was running with my feelings, running with my emotions. But I came and I told Stevie. And Stevie told me, and he seen me weeping and crying and all like this, like a big old baby. But anyway, Stevie says, "Just don't do it again." Because I was being an usher at the time, I think. And he says, "Don't do it again." And I haven't touched it since. You know, it took me about a year to let God work in me. I didn't like the convictions. But you know what? Convictions, corrections, chastisement is a blessing. We should find it joy when we're being corrected and guided in these things. Amen? Because it helps mold us, shapes us, and refines us to be the person that He desires to be, not what we want, you know? So basically, that's how it is to where I came to be here. And now the Lord's been working on me, sending me on my little journeys of little things that I do. Sometimes it may not look much, but it's given me a drive to keep going toward the Lord and learning about the Lord. And I thank the Lord. And I thank each and one of you guys for your prayers, your love, and your support. And accepting this Harry Henderson looking guy. I just thank God that I got adopted twice. He was there. See, this is where I'll get into the scripture. I'll start with the format that what I just talked about. Basically, you don't mind, I'll read it real quick. There's a few of them. So, all right. All right, I'll just read the little format that the scriptures mean to me. The first one is Psalms 27:10. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Amen. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and he will. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. My G mom tried. I just didn't grab a hold of it. I didn't listen. Anyways, but I'm here. I'm old, so I'm not departing from it. Keep me not depart from it. Proverbs 24:16-18. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Do not rejoice when your enemies fall. And I throw in, pray for your enemies. Love your enemies. That's what he's teaching me lately. Do not let your heart be glad when they stumble, lest the Lord see it and it displeases him and he turns away his wrath from them. So that's the thing that we all, even for myself, we should hold on to that. Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Amen. Hosea 14:4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger was turned away from him. Amen. And then I put Revelation 3:20. He was knocking at my heart. For those who knock, when the Lord knocks at the heart, he will dine with them. Amen. We could take that as a promise. Galatians 5:13-26. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and alike that I had done, and forgive me again, Lord, but thank you for delivering me, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I had told you time past, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3, I think, as well. But beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I thank God for delivering me from that, because I wouldn't be inheriting the kingdom of God. I wouldn't have been adopted. Amen? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh in its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. So he's still telling and teaching me to love others. You know, it's important for myself, you know, as for everyone else. Philippians 4:8, meditate on these things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And that's what we're doing today. We're meditating on the things that the Lord's done for me and for you guys. Job 28:28, one of the favorites that I love. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord is what? That is wisdom. And to depart from evil is what? Understanding. Amen. So I'm learning understanding. I'm turning to wisdom. So praise God. So Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 13 says, those who confess to the Lord and believe, they'll be what?
Faith.
Amen. So praise God. So that's what I'm learning and that's what I've been doing. So I pray to continue to do this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down the strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity in the obedience of what? Of who? Christ. Amen. And then it goes to Ephesians chapter 10. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 13, we know all that. Amen.
Amen.
And then Romans 13, same thing, and so forth. But anyways, I just wanted to leave, I had others, but I just wanted to leave that as that. And I just want to encourage you guys, please, 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 get in a close relationship with God. Have him as your number one focus. As 1 John chapter 5, and the end of it says, little children, stay away from idols. That means don't make ourselves an idol. You know, we're unprofitable servants. We always put God first. I had Dan, if he could play two songs for me, and that would be it.
Well, can we just do one song? Okay. Because, yeah, you got to leave song. Me room.
Dan,
when you share the scriptures, I thought you said two scriptures, oh. Not the whole New Testament.
That's all. Hey, it's for God. Anyways, just one song on number 10. But anyways, Lord, I just thank you again for this opportunity. And praise God, Lord. And I pray that you continue to work in my life, Lord. And I pray that you continue to work in each and one of our lives, Lord. Once again, thank you again. Thank you for my brother Stevie. I do want to uplift my brother Stevie to you. And thank you for using him in a mighty way. He never thought he would be a leader in the church, Lord, but you have him here, Lord. He's been through his valleys and his mountain highs, Lord, and he's still continued to working on him and molding him and shaping him as you do each and one of us, Lord. I pray that you continue to be with my brother and the rest of my family out here. Lord, please be with us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you,
love
brother.
You guys.
Now, really, this looks like Harry Henderson.
I won't let my hair down. all right, thank you, Steve.
Did you think you were immune to this? Did you think you could escape without infection? You do all you're able to resist. Just to avoid the danger of rejection. Memory warns you of the past. When it all went wrong. When you think your life is shattered and there's no way to be fixed again, love heals your heart. That time you least expected. Shadow.
It's not easy just standing here having all you guys looking, staring at me and not saying nothing. You know, if I'm saying something, it's different, but just standing here, I'm like, yeah, okay. Anyways, open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to prepare our hearts for community. If we go over just a little bit, we might probably warning you. But you ain't got nowhere else to go. So praise God. It's not like you're going to the White House or anything like that. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start off in verse 17 this morning. Being that Johnny shared his testimony and I had this divine appointment with Alex who accepted the Lord. And so the Lord, I had something else, but God then placed this on my heart. It's actually the scripture that one of the scriptures that I shared with him and Alex, and there in verse 17 he says, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away, behold all things become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are the ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implored you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So these verses here, Paul, he's giving us this message, and he's speaking about being regenerated. He's speaking about regeneration. And it tells us that, you know, we are in the making of being a new creation. And it doesn't matter who you are. This is actually a promise to those who are in Christ. Now, the question here this morning is, what does it mean to become a new creation? And I believe it just means exactly what it says. I mean, it means that you're a new creation. It means that God's word is it's truth. And when the scriptures tell us that the old things are passed away, that all things become new, that means that our lives actually become a whole new world. Now, if I could sing, I would sing that song, A Whole New World, for you. But that's our lives. It means that our nature, our lifestyle, our behavior, it all changes. So not only by faith we are saved, we are forgiven, but we also are changed. But it doesn't mean we're perfect, but we change every day. And this is only something that God can do. And not only does he do it for us, but I believe that regeneration comes because the change comes within us. He does it within us so that we learn to live for him, and we learn to decrease so that he can increase. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 tells us that if you put off, that we're to put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in truth and righteousness. Now, if you think about it, you know, this is about testimony. John shared his testimony. But before we receive Christ in our life, anybody here been raised as a Christian in their lives, right? Some of them, my kids were, because we were Christians. But before I received Christ, before you received Christ in your life, you know, we were dead to God. We didn't have a relationship with God. Some of us weren't even sure about God's existence or about him. And if we did know God, if we knew there was a God, we didn't know about God. We never fellowshiped with him or prayed to him about without ceasing. We lived a sinful and immoral lifestyle. And what was scary about that is we had to face death every day. I mean, how many of you here, how many times did you almost died in your sins? And if you did, we would have been separated, and we would have had to face judgment and eternal separation from God. There was a few times in my life that I almost died, and I wasn't a believer. And if I did, I would have had to face judgment. I would have had to face total separation from God. And we were born, if you think about it, we were born once. We were born when we were babies, but we would have to die twice. We would have to die in this life, and then we would have died eternity with the Lord, seeing him and being totally separated from him forever. And people who don't believe in God now, when they die, they're going to stand before the Lord, and they're going to realize that God does exist, and it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. They're going to be totally separated from the Lord. And but when we became a new creation in Christ, think about when you first accepted the Lord. When we became a new creation in Christ, we became born again. We became as a new creation, and we became alive to God. And now that we have this whole new relationship with God, and we definitely and absolutely are certain about God and who he is and his presence, and we know about him, and we have fellowship, and we pray with God, and we pray with others all the time. So as a new creation, we're actually, God gives us the strength to be able to live righteously and holy in this holiness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the word righteousness, it means right living. We do what's right. You get to live what's right and serve the Lord. And so as a new creation, think about it, we're born twice. We're born as a baby, and then we become born again as a believer. And we're only going to die once. And then we'll never have to die again. Because as a new creation, we are destined to live eternity in the presence of God. So the question again is, how does a person become a new creation? Look at verse 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, I believe that the key word here in verse 17 is the words are, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And the key is what? Being in Christ. That's what makes a new person. It's only when we truly believe in Christ, then the Lord places us and he positions us in Christ. And all that Christ, you think about all that Jesus has done for us. Remember, we are here because Jesus lived, Jesus died, and Jesus rose again. So that we are in Christ, that means that we will live, when we die, and we too will rise in Christ. And we will live for eternity with him. Because now we're able, now through the Holy Spirit and through our relationship with him, we're able to identify with him. So as we believe in him, we are placed and positioned in him. Therefore, we are counted and considered in Christ. And because of what Jesus did for us, that enables God to identify us with Jesus. Because Jesus, he stands in the gap for us. So to be in Christ means that we need to walk and we need to live in Christ day by day. It means that we don't seek to live or to walk after the flesh. Now, I don't know. I don't remember if Johnny, if he mentioned Romans chapter 8, verse 1, where it says, now, therefore, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But listen, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not in him. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Because Jesus rose from the dead, we too arise from the dead. And to be in Christ, it also means that we are too, according to Titus chapter 2, it tells us, Paul said to Titus in verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, and looking for the blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? Yes, Jesus Christ. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. It means that we have to bear fruit according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. And so these are the things that God wants us to bear in our life. So to be a new creation in Christ, guys, it means that we have to abide in Christ and become connected with Christ. So being born again, and not only being born again, but be a new person. Look at verse 17. He says that the old things have passed away. He says, behold, all things have become new. All things in our lives, they become new. And so the no better words, I think, than verse 17, which describes the life experience that we face every day. And it's in verse 17 here. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that's a lifestyle for us. Every day, old things in our lives, our lives, it's just simply fading and things become new, just like this brother Alex, this guy who accepted the Lord. His life is going to change now. I told him, your life is going to change. Old things are going to pass away. Things are going to start to become new in your life. I mean, this is a calling. This is the message to the world. It's like we get to start our whole life all over again. No matter how corrupt, sinful, what you've done, where you've been. Guys, God will make a new creation out of you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. And we do ask that you continue to transform us by the renewing of our mind, Lord, that you would continue to lead and direct us, Father. Lord, we are so blessed and count it worthy that you died for us, Jesus, that you who knew no sin became sin for us. And so, Lord, as we prepare our hearts for communion, to have that sweet koinonia with you, we pray, Lord, that you would bless us. We pray that you anoint us and you prepare us, Father, for your will to be done in our lives. Lord, we want to be a new creation every day. Every day, Father, turn us into that new creation in Christ Jesus. So bless us, and we do give you all the glory, and we give you all the honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts.